103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
It's another Friday afternoon as you are listening to this, but at this moment in time I am in Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, sitting submerged below I guess what would be considered normal altitude. And next to me is a very wonderful garden designer by the name of
Cherry Common.
Cherry, let's go to the garden at Hampton if we can first. We're what about, you'd know the exact millimetres on this, I'm sure, at this stage of the game. But it was number one built for perennial, who I guess I and now you would be very good friends with. You've been given the hug and you shall never be allowed to escape for all of the right reasons. The garden in itself, though, is extremely beautiful. And as, by the way, for those who listen at home, if you're driving and you're listening to this, just continue on with the interview, but send us a note at Sodshow on Twitter and I'll send you on Sherry's contact details, and we'll send you a couple of photographs of the garden so you get the picture of what we're talking about. But in radio terms, what am I sitting surrounded by?
So you are, we've got, oh God, that's my phone ringing, sorry.
You're fine, she's a very busy woman.
Oh God, it's my other half. Sorry.
There goes the marriage proposal.
Yeah, I'm actually just being interviewed at the moment. Okay, bye. Yeah, sorry about that. You're surrounded by water. So we are about 1.5 metres down ground level, and we are being surrounded by three walls of water that's cascading down it vertically. So from above, what you see is a pond, a U-shaped pond, which is all lovely and tranquil and peaceful, and it's surrounded by sort of wildflowers and pond planting, and it's all very natural. And then you've got a set of stairs. You go down the stairs and you're kind of submerged, immersed in the water that's cascading over the walls on three sides, and lots of lovely lush planting.
We were standing outside the garden and I was on my way into you, and about nine very well behaved, I should add, school children walked by and grabbed your attention, and they absolutely adored what you did and paid you that compliment.
Yes, they did. They were so sweet. Yeah, and they were really interested in how the water feature worked, because they were like, the water goes down and where does it go and how does it come back up? And I think that's kind of the beauty of a design like this. It does make you think, well, how does that work? I suppose a lot of the guys would come along and go, technical terms, you know, how does it work? And all of the women would go, oh, it's very pretty. So, you know, it's nice that people are asking that question.
Let's go an entirely different place, because you're not, you're younger than me, to put in context. You're a hell of a lot better looking and younger than me. Let's put it entirely in context. Where did you go study?
I actually studied at home. I did my RHS qualifications as a kind of home study sort of thing, because I needed to work. You know, I couldn't afford to go to school as such. So I basically just did it all at home and then took the test at the end. So as such, I basically taught myself. But I did also, I was working in a garden centre. So everything that the RHS qualifications teach you, the garden centre doesn't, and everything that the qualifications doesn't teach you, the garden centre does, because it you know, the plant vocabulary and things like that, you don't get that in the qualification. You get that from experience. So as soon as you start working and being around these kind of things, that's what you learn. And then I basically left the garden centre, and I started up my own company doing garden maintenance, that went on to design, landscaping, etc. So it's basically self-taught.
Are you, when I started my business 15 years ago, I know I don't look at Sherry, but thanks for that. We didn't, I'm not joking. But when I started, Donegan Landscaping 15 years ago, I made no bones out of the fact that I borrowed the tools for my first job. I was literally out of the boot of the car. I owed money on the car. I literally didn't have diddly squat. But because of that, I'm not saying that I've got a better, you know, story if I'm ever featured in Time magazine, you know, of I'm hesitant to suggest her rags to riches, but Maura was one of eight children, and if you wanted something, you kind of worked a little bit harder for it. Do you find that you're better as a businesswoman, as we've discussed on many other shows? You know, there's two sides to garden design. Anybody can draw a garden, but it's another thing to draw one successfully, number one, and another thing to stay in business as a successful garden designer, number two. Does that kind of point where with you? Does that fit with you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I always like to kind of point out, a good designer needs to know their plants. Like you say, it's really easy to just draw up a garden. It's really easy to put something together and say, oh, that looks good. But a plant is a living thing, you know, and designing, you are basically painting with plants. You're painting with a living thing, and that living thing needs to live, it needs to thrive. And we know that you look at a plant and you go, well, that looks pretty. Well, what does that plant need? It needs shade, it needs moisture, it needs different acidic soil, etc. And a good designer may not know that. So having the experience, like you say, working out of the boot of your car, I did the same thing for about a year. I bought my first van for £800 and it broke down every single week. But the fact is that I went to clients and I knew my stuff. I didn't just go, oh, I can trim a hedge. Oh, I can prune your roses. I could look at a plant and say, I know what that is. I know what that needs. And that makes a huge difference. And once you have that confidence, and once the clients have that confidence in you, you will go much, much further.
So you're the first person that I know that we've interviewed on the show whose qualifications are RHS online. I'll put that down to two things, no disrespect to the RHS or any of the Hort colleges, but I'll put it down to the fact that of the mind or of modern technology, that you kind of get it, that you're a little bit on the young side of it. Is that a fair way to put that?
I'm not as young as you think I am.
Well, you're not 712, let's put it that way. And you know how to use a computer, and I gather you're on Twitter.
I'm not. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter.
You're right, okay.
I'm not. I really am not. I can just about manage to get an email on my phone, and that's basically the end of it. I'm not technologically minded at all, and I didn't do things on a computer. The RHS qualifications was basically they send you a book and send you some assignments, and then you post it, and that's it. And it's a proper RHS. It's still RHS level 2, level 3, etc. But you know, it's not. You don't get that kind of online field. They literally just send you a textbook, and I'm now kind of thinking, God, I could have blummin' done that myself without paying the fee.
I'm sure Ed Horn will be delighted to hear that one. It's all good, Ed. It's all good. Don't worry. Barry McGuigan's on his way around. To a serious matter, and let's be quite frank about this, because I have RHS qualifications, and I did it back in the day when it had to be posted as well. So not a whole lot has changed. Right. But in my heart, I'm secretly proud, or I'm as proud of my Irish qualifications as I am of my RHS qualifications, because there's something synonymous with that name to say it's, you know, like a stamp of approval. Yeah. And there's no getting away from that. When you qualified, was it a momentous day?
Yeah, I guess. No, you know, knowing that I can stick that sticker on my van kind of thing and sort of say to people, I am RHS qualified. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. People then trust you. People think, oh, okay, you know your stuff then. I can have you in my garden. I can have you design. It makes all the difference. But I would say the qualification isn't enough. You do need the experience, because what you learn from there, you need to go and practice. You need to go out there and be around what you're studying. You can't just read it on a piece of paper.
Your first foray into show gardening is this one? ?
Yes, I did. I was here last year, but I was helping another designer, so I was kind of like the assistant, as you say. So this is my first solo project.
Momentous occasion number one was qualification in horticulture. Mine was a big day, very, very big day for me. If I'm honest with you, probably the next one was the first award for the design and build of a garden, and then show garden as well, because it meant it was at like a national level. It was like the second equivalent of the second RHS qualification, it just all started to happen all over again. And there's a question mark in this, your first delve into garden, show garden building, which is not real garden building, but comes with the merits nonetheless, piece of paper, the certificate, the medal, the trophy, was Hampton Court Palace Flower Show.
Yeah, this one, basically. I was basically, this all happened very quickly, so obviously I'm quite shocked and still sort of, you know, I'm honoured, obviously. I never in a million years thought that this would happen now. It's obviously a career ambition for any garden designer to be here. Yeah. This is huge for me. I still kind of stand back and think, that's what I drew on a piece of paper, and it's here. And it's a bit surreal, actually. It is surreal.
Well, let's go mildly into the how fast it all happened, because the rumour I heard was that 9 days before Hampton Build was due to start. That's what I heard. You got a call.
It was 6 days. Yeah,
right, you're even better again.
Yeah, I was on holiday. I was on holiday on the other side of the world, and Tequin Evans from Living Landscapes texted me and said, "How quickly can you do a design for Hampton Court?" I said, "Okay, what do you need?" And he said, "A water garden, preferably with straight lines. It's got to be, you know, roughly about 10 by 10. And so I frantically went to try and find Wi-Fi and printers and scanners and stuff, and it didn't seem to exist where I was. So I kind of just scribbled something on a piece of paper and sent it to him by text. And then, you know, I was back in the country on Monday, went straight into meetings. Tuesday, we went around looking at materials, and Wednesday, this massive hole started to be dug out.
2 weeks beforehand, you go on holidays, fast track forward 6 weeks later, you're being presented with a medal at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. That's freaking surreal stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm still jet lagged, to be honest. The lack of sleep for a whole month, and exhaustion and stress. I need another holiday. That's the way to do it. Have a holiday before and then have a holiday after.
Okay. Family, friends, all of that stuff. They've obviously seen the journey being there from when you said I was going to study horticulture. I'm going jacking in the garden centre thing. I'm going out on my own. I'm buying down a clapped out van. We've all owned one of them. Every single one of us. What was my friend's one? John, he had one that the passenger side was held tied to the seat with co-hanger, and to let his girlfriend in, he used to have to, the driver's seat was held, it doesn't matter, he used to have to jump across the entire of the seats and undo the co-hanger and then put his hand back in the window and tie it back to the seat again.
Yeah, mine made noises like a firework was going off, at that point I sort of thought, I better get rid of this thing. So, a health hazard, to say the least.
are family and friends proud? Have they seen this? Have they seen the journey? Did you always do garden centre and horticulture qualifications?
No. I started off in the film industry. I was a camera technician, and then I jumped around doing all sorts of jobs. And I just decided one day that I definitely wanted to be outdoors. I hated offices. And I thought, what can I do? What do I really like doing that's going to give me money? And unfortunately, being a professional dog cuddler didn't seem to exist. So my next best thing was being outdoors and sort of working with plants and doing some gardening and stuff like that. So,
garden centre RHS qualifications followed.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So that's what I did. I thought, okay, well, I'll be a gardener then. What do I need to do that? So, you know, a bit of online. That's about as far as my computer knowledge goes, Google. And looked up the RHS qualifications, thought, okay, I can do that. Right, okay, well, what else do I need to do? Right, start getting a job. So I just, I worked at the garden centre.
It's impressive. It really genuinely is, hand on heart. It's the odd time you see a garden and you turn around and go, yeah, that's smooth, and then sometimes you get a little bit of an insight into the behind the scenes of how it all happened at such short notice, the qualifications, the whole lot. It's very admirable. So there was a mild bit of a break, and let me give you the reason why. Number one we were actually heading, conversation-wise, into a very different place for good reason. But I guess it's one that strikes a chord with me, and at the same token, without getting into that, and then bang on cue, just when you're kind of going, oh God, because you're after having that little bit of it, that, yeah, okay, that's after striking a chord at me, the BBC came up and said, basically, you need to get out of your own garden to Sherry, and we need to do some filming here. And they obviously very politely said it, and we kind of went, yeah, fine. So you'll notice now that the water sound isn't in the background, and we're in a different place on every single level of the word. So where we were, if I remember correctly, was the bit behind the scenes of the garden where you said you were on holiday. And you kind of were on holiday, but you also weren't on holiday. The behind the scenes on the reason for holiday, do you want to go into that?
Yeah, I can do. I was on holiday because I had just finished a round of chemo. Actually, it was my second round of chemo. So I was having a nice little break in a nice hot country and relaxing by the pool, and then it all went to mayhem. in a good way.
Okay, so what is unknowns to you at home was, I guess, a little bit of should this be discussed or should it not be discussed? And essentially I left that the should it be discussed scenario entirely to Sherry, because we didn't want it to take away, the words I used was, I didn't want it to take away from the beautiful garden that you had created. And I have to be very, very choice of my words. So believe me, I'm trying to be overly choice of my words, and I don't want to spend 5 minutes apologising, but we've had a very, very in-depth discussion, and I'm, you know, but the garden is beautiful. It's got the shiny thing. It is for a very brilliant charity behind the scenes, which is Perennial, but I guess some media, it's okay to put it that, maybe took the chemo thing and took that a slightly different direction. So this is kind of, how do you say, on the record-esque clarification in a sense. Is that a fair way to put that?
Yeah, I guess. Not in a negative way or anything. Just, you know, You do have to be careful when you throw out the sort of cancer word, because it's still such a kind of unknown and taboo subject, and people just don't talk about it enough, to be honest. And the thing I find is that as soon as you tell someone you have cancer, you get labelled. You get labelled as something that you may not be. And perhaps maybe I was labelled, and there was some misunderstanding that perhaps that was the reason I was here in Hampton Court. That's the reason why I built the garden. And that's not the case at all. You know, many people go through cancer, people have illnesses, all sorts of things affect people's lives, and it doesn't define them. It doesn't define their career. It's you. It's just you. You did this. I built this garden, not because of the cancer. I built this garden because I'm a good garden designer, and I'm good at my job, and that's why I was picked. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's kind of case closed on that one, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. But, I mean, look at what you can do. People who have cancer, that it's not all negative. It's not on. We've got to put a positive spin on it. We've got to show people that you can still do things. You're still a functional person. Nothing has changed. And look what just happened. I mean, I had my last session of chemo on the 19th of May, and within weeks I was building a show garden in Hampton Court. So you can do anything. Don't let any illness, anything stop you.
I thought I was the coolest dude on the planet, though, to be fair. And I know there's a multiple of stories in the entire of this interview. I mean, a multiple that I'm just kind of going, okay, fair enough. She's better at me than that. All right, she's better at me than that. All right, she's better at me than that. Okay. Even her clapped out van story is better than my clapped out van story. You know, we're at that kind of level. What's next? What's the next step? What are you going to do next that's better than me again?
Sleep for a month. That's what I'm gonna do. I honestly don't know. I obviously need to catch up on vacuuming the house, it seems, because
yes,
that's clearly all a woman does.
I don't know what women you pal around with, mate, but the women I know, you're joking me.
But you know, I don't know what opportunities are now going to be thrown at me. Hopefully really amazing things, more design work, absolutely welcome. I just don't know. I'm quite easy. I'm quite looking forward to some time off, as I said, another holiday after a holiday. But I just got to see what's going to come my way. The build itself, talking about the actual design and build, it's not for the faint-hearted landscaper. It's really, really not. You have got to have a confident person to build this, and definitely someone who would like the challenge. And luckily for me, Tekwin Evans, he's that guy. So as a designer, you need to know that your design is going to be in good hands. So that's really important. And as you can see, that this design is very heavy on the landscaping, and it's quite a difficult construction, especially is one that needs to be built in such a short amount of time as well. So we did have our problems, I'm not going to lie, as many show gardens do, we did have our problems, but it's just done incredibly well.
On the build, and show garden building is a very high pressure cooker, usually about 18 to 21 days, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock the next morning. For those 18 to 21 days, rock solid, at least in my case, and adrenaline running through your veins till the cows come home. Your build, I watched from afar. Number one, you had serious, and I mean serious, rainfall. Higher than I've ever seen before. A flash floods, in fact, which caused flooding near enough to Wimbledon, to where I am. At the same token, the garden that you had went downwards and not upwards, so you tended to hold water. You were essentially the bathtub.
Yeah, we were the swimming pool. What a great idea to do a massive dig out on the wettest June on record. We were the swimming pool. People would be like, oh, which garden are you working on? I'm like, that giant hole in the ground. Oh yeah, that one. Okay, yeah, you're the mad woman. Yeah, I'm that woman. Yeah, it was really difficult. We were massively behind because of all the rain. But then, you know, we weren't alone. Loads of other gardens were in the same boat, and it was like Glastonbury here. It really was. It's awful.
Any smart garden builder will tell you that you either A, go on the flat with a slight raise, therefore the rainfall doesn't get in the way. B, you make your planting as big as freaking possible, but the plant pots are actually quite small, so you don't see any of the soil. It's very, very, very smart moves like that. You build your backdrop in off in an industrial estate. You get it all shipped in the one go. Boom, party on, and we're finished with 7 days to roll. That smart garden building, you tick all the boxes, thanks for metal, see you later alligator, bye bye. You went downwards, and this is June, and everybody knows that June bank holiday, well, June weekend, Wimbledon weekend, it always rains in Wimbledon. It's synonymous with Robinsons and guys running across in blue shorts pulling the covers across. So on one hand it was slightly daring, but to your compliment and to your credit, when it's done and you complete that extra added challenge that you gave yourself for the greater good at the end of it, does that make you turn around? It does make you turn around and go, right, I'm a flipping genius. But partway through the build, and this is the big question, partway through the build, did you bang your head off the wall and go, what the absolute did I do? Why am I doing this? I'm a nut job. I'm a moron. I shouldn't be allowed near NORHS show.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that halfway through the show. I did that at the beginning. Because it was crazy right from the beginning, because it did rain. Literally, I'm telling you, the last couple of days is the first couple of days where we've had no rain all day. But from the moment this build had started, it rained absolutely every single day, and it was relentless. We couldn't get away from it. But the one bonus we have is that the grounds here, they're quite free draining. Yeah. It is quite sandy around here, so we did have that on our side. But it did come to a point when we were digging it out that we couldn't dig any further. I don't know if you noticed that the garden is slightly raised. You've got a little bit of an elevation to enter the garden. That is because we just couldn't dig any deeper. So we did get to a point where it was just going to be ridiculous. We were chucking out God knows how many tons of soil every day, and it was just getting to a point where I was like, yeah, this is a bit mad. This is a bit mad.
Okay, let's do the final one. Hindsight is always, it's always great to look back in years to come and go, God, that was a great garden. And you forget all of the, you know, how do you say it, like the time you decided it wouldn't be great if we went camping, and you just turn around to your partner and go, you gobshite, whose idea was, you moron, the kids are screaming, you're crying, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, you're trying to put wet sandwiches into the car and literally get home out of this disaster. And you look back on that in 10, 15 years' time and you go, God, that was great. Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it? Yeah, we had a ball, you know, and and he's still got a bruised left arm, and you know, that's the way it goes. Will you look back on your first show garden under your own name and say, yeah, girl done good?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, come on, like everything that was thrown at us, you know, from the word go, we've done bloody well. Definitely, yeah. And like you say, you know, it's knackering, you're stressed, you're tired, you're exhausted, and you're thinking to yourself, what have I got myself into? But it's those mad moments that you remember, and if they're not mad, then they're just boring. So yeah, definitely, I'm gonna look back next week and just go, yeah, let's do it all again. I want to go deeper this time, you know, or higher or whatever. I'm a bit like that. I like challenges. I like to be a bit crazy, I guess. Why not? So yeah, I'm tired and I'm thinking, why have I done this? But inside, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it again.
What can I say, Cherry? It's been a real, genuine pleasure. I hope to you listening at home that you've taken, God, it's got so many levels and it's absolutely unreal. But look, if you're stuck for anything along the lines of, we can put you in touch with Perennial. That's Perennial GRBS on Twitter. I'd search on Twitter if you're driving and you're really, really stuck. You're not on any of those,
no,
now we know.
No Facebook and no Twitter for me. I probably will have to jump on the bandwagon at some point, but I'm just a bit anti it.
So we'll give you Sherry's telephone number there. Feel free to call her between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. I'm only joking. Sherry, thanks so much. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Been great. Been a crack, as they say.